Hey Kenny, can you hear me?
Yeah.
All right, how we doing?
I'm doing pretty good. How about yourself?
Oh, you know, I'm actually back home in Pennsylvania visiting my family this weekend. But normally I'm out in Baltimore. Where are you at?
Yeah, I'm all like at my this area.
Mhm. Cool. How you like it there?
I mean, it's okay, you know, but I've been trying to relocate myself, you know, somewhere.
Interesting. Like where? See, I would love to live in Tallahassee.
For real?
Yeah, dude, I love Florida. I like it.
What, like it's cold where you at?
Oh, yeah, up in Pennsylvania, man, it gets cold. And in Baltimore, it's all right in the wintertime. It's never too cold, but, you know, it's not like those warm winters y'all guys get in Florida.
Right. Because, like, right now, ain't cold yet, but, right now, you know, like, y'all good. Not all right.
Mm-hmm. So let's get into it, man. Let's go ahead and get into it. Today, let's go ahead and talk about fitness. What do you say?
Yeah, okay. But first and foremost, tell me something, you know, like about your, like this is a question I always ask here on the podcast. Tell me something, you know, like about your, like upbringing.
About my upbringing? So the reason I got into fitness in the first place is because when I was a kid, I was always like real skinny and scrawny. And I was pretty much shorter than everybody else too. So it wasn't until like around high school or college that I started exercising, and I kind of fell in love with it, you know. I liked the way I looked. And as a kid, I really watched Dragon Ball Z a lot. I don't know if you ever watched that show when you were a kid, but I was kind of always motivated by like Trunks and Vegeta and them. I was like, man, like I want to have, you know, big shoulders and chest like that someday. I always thought they were super cool. So when I was lifting in like high school and college, I would go like 7 days a week. I'd be eating, you know, 5 or 6 meals a day, and I'd be busting my ass, you know, exercising. And every time I would do this, I would end up burning out and I wouldn't be able to maintain it because it's just so much work and volume, going to the gym every day, eating clean every single day for like 5 or 6 meals a day, and I couldn't handle it. And I would burn out and I would plateau, and then I'd go back to my old habits. I'd go back to not exercising at all and eating like crap all the time. And then, excuse me, I'd revert back into, you know, being like skinny fat or not having shoulders or whatever the case may be. You see what I mean, Kenny?
Right.
So I knew there had to be a better way to have fitness, you know? And I was doing some research and I was talking to some friends and family members. And I found, I was kind of introduced to intermittent fasting. And that's where this whole journey began, because fasting actually promotes muscle retention. And so I actually learned that by utilizing intermittent fasting and actually going to the gym less, so only going to the gym 3 times a week as opposed to 7 times a week, I could actually maintain better gains and still live the life I want without being a slave to my fitness while like, enjoying my life and never really like plateauing. You know, I made it work for me as opposed to me working for it. So that's kind of like how my upbringing, how I started into this.
Okay, well, tell people, you know, for people that's going to hear a fast like metabolism, a slow metabolism, and tell them why, you know, hitting the gym less times a week, you know, is better, you know, more efficient than hitting, you know, 7 times, because people always think more is better. I mean, you know what I mean?
Big time, yeah, and that's a common misconception. So first of all, let me start by addressing the fact that having a fast metabolism or a slow metabolism, that's all BS, Kenny. That's all total crap. It's all garbage. Your metabolism is set. Having a fast metabolism or a slow metabolism, I can't stand it when people blame how easily they lose weight or gain weight on their metabolism. How easily you lose weight or gain weight is based on how many calories you take in a day versus how many calories you expend a day. If you are expending more calories than you're taking in, you're going to lose weight. Whereas if you're taking calories than you're expending, then you're going to gain weight. You see what I mean?
Right.
So that kind of blows that whole metabolism thing out of the water. And then what's that other thing you asked me about?
You said intermittent fasting and you were hitting the gym three times. You know, for people that's listening, tell them why, you know, hitting it three times a week versus seven times a week, you know, is more effective.
So when I was going seven times a week, I was big, right? I had big arms and big shoulders. However, that was just from volume. That was like water weight and just blood up in my muscles. So I would skip like a day or two and I would noticeably lose gains. Like I'd get skinnier just from skipping a day or two. And I was like, this is not good. So I'd keep going, you know, 7 days a week. Well, it turns out that wasn't actually muscle in my arms and chest and all that. That's just like volume. That's just, you know, pressure in there, blood pressure in there from me working out all the time. Whereas with me working out less, it gives my muscles a more adequate time to recover. You see what I mean, Kenny?
Right.
I was never recovering when I was going 6 or 7 days a week. I was never really recovering. Now I give myself at least a whole day to recover before I go back to the gym. So, like I said, fasting also promotes muscle retention. So I can skip a week or sometimes upwards of 2 weeks. Not that I would do this often. I would not recommend that people do this. But I can skip 2 weeks and go back to the gym after a two-week vacation and go back and hit a new personal best lift. When I was going to the gym 6 or 7 days a week, I could never do that. If I skip 2 weeks of going to the gym, I would look like I was just starting when I go back. You see what I mean? Going 3 days a week is actually ideal because I can hit like not whole body workouts, but I can hit like shoulders and chest and triceps in one workout and then only hit that workout again one more time that week. And that's so much more enjoyable, man. You know what I mean? As opposed to being like, I got to come back and do this again tomorrow.
Words, you enjoy like the split routine better.
Yes. And like I said, it makes it way easier to like enjoy your life. You're much less of a slave to your fitness. And some people love doing that, right? Some people love, going to the gym 6 or 7 days a week. And if that's your fix, man, you go ahead and do that. But for the average person, that's just not obtainable. Like, that's not sustainable. You can't do that every day of your life, you know? Like, not everybody lives fitness like that. For people that do, that's awesome. But you have to understand that a vast majority of people, that's not them. And so when I see, you know, fitness coaches out there that are like gung-ho for fitness and they love it and they tell guys, yeah, you gotta go to the gym 6 days a week. You gotta eat out of Tupperware six times a day. Like, you might love doing that, but the average person that sees that might get them motivated for a very short period of time, and they might be able to do that for like 6 weeks. But then what happens after 6 weeks, Kenny? They lose focus. Right. They start to feel like they start to resent it because they're working so hard for it. And then,
but you know, it always, you know, what, you know, person that you have, because like if you got like that's training, you know, for you should be able to say, reality should already, you know, beyond that, you know, like I gotta do this, you know, because I gotta be competition ready.
Oh, yeah, dude, and that's what I'm saying. So if you're like a bodybuilder or a power lifter and you live and breathe this stuff, yeah, you need to be in the gym two times a day every day, you know, or whatever the case may be. But I'm talking about for the average people that just want to be healthier. Like the average everyday people that have 9-to-5 jobs, most of those people are not going to want to be in the gym twice a day every day. You got other things to do. People got kids. People got two jobs that they're working. People got other priorities and hobbies. And I'm trying to make it easy for people to have sustainable fitness that they can keep throughout their lives. And it's a lifestyle. It's not like a diet or a workout plan. It's a lifestyle that you live every day of your life, you know?
Right,
just
right,
like how
right.
You eat every day, you maintain fitness every day.
Because I have a client and works, you know, sometimes you have to work 16 hours, you know, like in one. Complaining about he didn't have time like to train, so I started like developing him, you know, trainings, you know, for like 20 minutes a day.
Mm-hmm. Some like high intensity interval training stuff.
Right. He lost 20 pounds, you know, like in a month.
Mm-hmm. Sometimes that first month is the easiest because you can lose all that water weight.
Right. You're right.
Yeah.
So, like, what do you think about, you know, like, the zigzag diet? Because that's one diet, you know, like, that I like to be on.
Tell me more about that zigzag diet that you like.
Like, the zigzag, basically, like, summing up, you know, for people, you know, who are, like, going to be listening is, okay, you eat, it's clean, like it could be 3, it could be 4, it could be 5 days straight clean, and then like that next day you could have then like that day right after that you get on like go back to eating clean, like it basically, you know, helps your mentality, you know, like you don't like feel like, you know, you a slave, things like that right there. So you pack on how many carbs, you can eat in a pizza, hamburgers, you can eat refined carbs, like doesn't matter. Sweets, ice cream, it doesn't matter. Basically, like, you're tricking your body, like, to get gains.
Okay.
And, you know, I've been doing, like, a study on myself. You know, this diet doesn't even have a name, but I've been, you know, not eating meat for 3 days. And then that fourth day, have a cheat day. And then the day after that, I, go back to eating, you know, no meat, period.
Mm-hmm. So, like, you're going on and off of vegan, basically. You'll have, like, 3 or 4 days of the week where you're vegan, and then, like, another 2 or 3 days of the week or whatever the case may be that you are not vegan.
Nah. 3 days straight vegan. Then, like, the next day I have a cheat day. And then, like, I go 3 like, next day I have a cheat day like that.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay. So, like, the experience. Because, you know, when I first did the first month, you know, like, I noticed when I was doing my fast cardio, I couldn't do it an hour, you know, like, in the morning. Because, like, my body was tired because it didn't have any meat, you know, like, because meat is animal-based. So, meat has, you know, B12 and calcium, like iodine, zinc and all that. Like, body was used to that, and it wasn't getting that. So...
Okay.
And you know, I was going to like to the on the bathroom on regular.
Yeah, can you still hear me?
Yeah, I agree.
Okay, cool. I didn't know if you were done. I didn't want to interrupt you.
So,
first of all, let me say this for everybody listening: any diet you do will get you in better shape. Any diet. It could be like the stupidest diet you ever heard of, and it will help you to lose weight as long as, you know, it's like something real. You can't like go on the donut diet and eat like 17 donuts a day and be like, I'm on the donut diet and I didn't lose any weight. Like, yeah, no kidding. You know what I mean? Like any real diet will get you in better shape, no doubt. However, there are some that are better or worse than others. So if you want to do the zigzag diet, or if you want to do keto or paleo or whatever the case may be, go ahead and do that. And like I said, especially if you're someone that's never had like a diet before, it will help you to lose weight. But my thing is, I hate diets, because the thing about diets is at some point they end. At some point your diet ends. And then if your diet ends and you go back to your regular eating habits, then you might as well have never been on that diet in the first place, because you're going to gain all that weight back or get back out of shape or whatever. So I preach on lifestyles. So I preach on if you're going to do a diet, it better be something that you can do as a lifestyle every day of your life for the rest of your life. If you know that you're just doing this diet for now and eventually you're going to stop, you might as well not even do it. And so
that's why
I big advocate for fasting. So I started intermittent fasting in 2016 or 2017, and I've been doing it ever since. So if I only fasted like once or twice a week, or like, every day for a couple months and then skipped a couple months and then back on for a couple months, it would make no difference. But I do this every day, Kenny. So for those of y'all guys that don't know anything about fasting, basically, you will have, like, especially with intermittent fasting, you'll have a large window where you are not eating any calories or drinking any calories. So you're basically just drinking water during the fasted state. There's other stuff called like dry fasting too, but we can get into that later. When you're in a fasted state, you don't have any food in your body. So for intermittent fasting, one thing that makes this a little bit easier is when you're asleep, that also counts as your fasted time. So let's say you sleep for 8 hours and then you fast for an additional 8 hours into the morning, then that would get you to what, like 16 hours of a fast. So if you're just starting this, I would recommend just fasting like 1 or 2 days a week. And then once that gets easy, push it up to like 3 or 4 days a week, then 5 or 6 days a week. Okay. And start with like a 14 or 15 hour fast. And then once that gets easy, you bump it up to 16 or 17, and then even bump it up to an 18 hour fast. And the cool thing about starting slow like this and working your way up is your body adapts. God has created our bodies to be made to adapt to situations. So if you just jump right in and be like, I'm going to do 23 hour fast, I'm going to have the OMAD diet, I'll eat one meal a day every day starting tomorrow, you might end up getting really sick and hating it and then never doing it again. You see what I mean?
Right.
Whereas if you slowly train yourself to do it, your body will slowly adapt to it and you'll actually enjoy it. And this is the way that human beings were meant to eat. This is how our ancestors ate, because obviously they didn't have no refrigerators, right? They would go out and hunt for their foods in a fasted state and then eat a huge meal and then the next day do it again. So they were basically eating once a day. And when you see drawings of like ancient humans, what do they look like? They look super lean and ripped and chiseled, like Greek gods, right?
Right.
And I understand that those are just drawings and like nobody has ever seen them, you know, but they're still historically accurate pictures. And in the Bible, God always commands for his armies to fast. And there should be an obvious reason for that. You know what I mean? Like, why would God want his armies to fast? There's definitely some physical advantages to being in a fasted state as well. All right. So when you are fasted, or actually, let me start this over. So your body uses for energy, carbohydrates, fats, and proteins, right? I feel like everybody knows that. And those are the macronutrients. You following me?
Right.
Okay, so it uses them in that order. So let's say you have a big meal. Your body will use the carbohydrates for energy first, and then your body will use the fats for energy. And then as a last resort, your body will use protein as an energy source. And you don't want your body using protein as an energy source, because then it'll start to break down your muscle tissue to use for energy. And this is typically something your body will only do when it thinks that you're starving. You see what I mean?
Right. So that's starvation mode.
Yeah. So let's say you're fasted, right? So you have no food in your system. Your body cannot use carbohydrates as fuel, right? Because there's none in there. Now, let's say you're fasted. What is the next source that your body will use for energy? If not carbs, what's next?
Are you asking me?
Yeah, I'm asking.
Oh, fat.
Yes, fats.
Like healthy fats.
Yeah, so let's say you're fasted. So your body doesn't have any fats that you've eaten. So what will your body do? Your body will think, oh, well, I don't have any fats in my stomach. Like, I don't have any fats in my system. So your body will use your body fat for energy.
Right.
You see what
I mean? Right.
So this is where fasting comes in to be an extremely great lifestyle diet, because you don't even have to do anything. Like, you don't even have to be exercising. And your body will burn body fat for energy because you don't have anything in your stomach. Now, let's say you run out of body fat. Then your body would use your muscle mass and your protein for energy, and obviously you don't want to let that happen. And let's say that you are in a fasted state, you're doing super long fasts every day, you're in a caloric deficit every single day. Eventually you will put your body into a catabolic state and your body will go into starvation mode and think, oh my goodness, I've been in a caloric deficit, I've been expending more calories than I've been taking in every single day for weeks or months, I don't know what to do. And then your body will actually hold on to body fat and start to use your muscle for energy because it thinks it's starving. And if this happens to you, obviously you're not going to die. You know, we're not in the middle of the desert. If this happens to you, it should be very obvious because you'll start to get weak and you'll start to plateau as far as fat loss. And then all you need to do is eat at caloric maintenance for a couple weeks or eat a couple days a week at a caloric surplus to re-regulate your metabolism so it's not crashed anymore. Does that make sense?
Yes, but like for the people that's listening, tell them basically like to find, you know, what's a like a calorie like surplus or like a you know, like a like deficient.
Yeah, so everybody's gonna be different, right? So if you compare me, I'm about 5'8" and I weigh about 140 pounds. You compare me to like Saquon Barkley from the New York Giants, he might expend more calories a day than me. You know, his caloric maintenance might be different than mine. So everybody's different. So never let somebody say, oh yeah, that's everybody's the same, everybody's about 2,000 calories a day. The best thing you can do actually is download one of those free apps like MyNetDiary or MyFitnessPal and just plug in your metrics like your height, weight, your height and weight and your age. And the app will tell you how many calories you burn a day.
All right.
Naturally. And that's going to be somewhere around 2,000 ballpark. And then if you eat more calories than that every day, you will typically gain weight over a long period of time. And if you eat less calories than that caloric maintenance every day, then you will typically lose weight over a long period of time. Okay. So hopefully that makes sense to everybody. And that caloric maintenance, those are just that's just the set number of calories that you burn every day just from being alive, just from sleeping and breathing and walking around or, you know, just whatever. Now, if you exercise, depending on how much you exercise, that could be more or less. However, the amount that you exercise doesn't really affect it that much. Like you could go on a 1 hour bike ride and go hard, but only burn, you know, like a couple hundred calories and then eat one slice of pizza and gain all those calories back. Cause one slice of pizza could be like upwards of 300 calories.
Right.
That's why I always say exercise is no way to get in better shape. Your lifestyle diet is how you get in better shape as far as losing body fat. If you want to like grow bigger muscles or nicer shoulders, then yes, you need to be in the gym. But as far as losing body fat, exercise is not the most important thing.
Right. It's what you consume.
Yeah. It's what you consume, or rather what you don't consume.
Right. 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 So question. Okay. By fasting, like, have you heard, because I heard a study about this. If you fast, it'll be good, you know, for a person that has like diabetes. Like, what's your take on that?
Yeah, so one of my boys actually in Baltimore just got diagnosed with type 2 diabetes. So I was looking into this with him, right? And the doctors prescribed him metformin and another drug. I think it's called Januvia. And so I said, okay, let's look at the effects of metformin and Januvia. And so I looked them up and why doctors prescribe them for patients that have diabetes. Well, I don't think I can pull up what I found right now because I have it in a text message chat with him. But basically what I found is all the things that metformin and Januvia do, fasting also does. Fasting does the exact same things. And I told him, like, dude, you could not take these drugs and fast and get all the same effects and avoid the harmful side effects of metformin and Januvia. You see what I mean? And of course, right, he still wants to take the drugs because he wants to listen to his doctor. But that's the thing about doctors, is they're told, you know, through college and everything, that drugs are the only cure, which actually drugs by definition are, you know, really toxic for the human body and well-being. And I looked at the side effects of Januvia and metformin with him, and the side effects are terrible, dude. Like diarrhea and headaches. And I saw one of the side effects of Januvia is Steven Johnson's disease or syndrome or whatever it's called. And that's when you get like a rash all over your body. And I was like, dude, because he's getting married in October. And I was like, bro, I don't want to go to your wedding and you have like a rash all over your face because you were taking these drugs when you could have just been fasting to get these same results, you know? And
right.
the diarrhea that you get from metformin, that's not a side effect of the drug. That's a direct effect of the drug. And it gives you diarrhea so that you lose more weight. And I told him, like, bro, you are losing weight, but that's not the body fat weight you're losing. You're losing water weight. Like, you need to make sure you're drinking enough water or you're going to freaking die, bro. Because, I mean, you can't play when you have diarrhea because that'll run all the water out of your system. And your body is like 70-something percent water. So, you know, if you run that all out, you could get really sick. I mean, what's that called? Like scurvy or whatever when people died from diarrhea? So that's definitely possible.
So question. Speaking about ups and dying, okay, with like a correlation of fitness, you know, like in the world, you know, like the crisis that we in, or, you know, like they scratching like the vaccine. What you think, you know, like about fitness, what people should do, you know, like to avoid the vaccine or like should take it or like whatnot?
Yeah, so first of all, I don't want to give anybody any medical advice because I'm not like an expert on the vaccine, you know?
Right.
From what I've heard and from what the science that I've seen, like the factual evidence that I've seen, if you are a young, healthy person that does not have any autoimmune disease and you are in good shape, you do not have a large percentage of body fat, and you get enough vitamin D, you don't really necessarily need to have this coronavirus vaccine. Like, if you get coronavirus, you're not going to freaking die. However, if you are someone that is out of shape and not healthy or elderly, or doesn't get enough vitamin D, and you want to get the coronavirus vaccine because you want to, then yeah, maybe you should. Because, you know, I would hate for somebody to get sick and die because they didn't have enough information on this coronavirus, you know?
Right.
How do you feel about it?
Well, like, you know, it's some, you know, somewhat, you know, what you said, but I feel like, you know, they need to take, you know, like a vitamin D, but like the natural vitamin D, I'm saying, which is the sun, you know, yeah, exactly. eat like a lot of vitamin C, and take the herb, like edible, still on like immune system. Exercise, drink a lot of water, and like do like a lot of fasting cardio. And I would like suggest, you know, taking like a lot of herbs.
Okay.
Like, that's my take. But you know, like I think like if I'm not mistaken, I think people who had, you know, like was in good shape still, you know, came down with it. I mean, like they probably didn't have no symptoms. But it is just a thought, like they did come down with it though.
Yeah, and exactly like you just said, to your own point, to prove our points, like someone that was healthy and got the coronavirus and they were asymptomatic, like, oh, I wonder why. It's probably because they were healthy. It's probably because they were in good shape and had low body fat and were young and didn't have any autoimmune diseases, got enough vitamin D, were exercising. I don't know if I already said that, but You see what I mean, though. Like, they were asymptomatic because you know, that virus wasn't really going to affect them. That wasn't really going to hurt them.
Right. I mean, yeah, because, like, yeah, I'm saying, like, what I said, like, they probably didn't have any symptoms, but, like, they still probably came in contact. Probably on, like, maybe at the gym, you know what I mean?
Yeah, whatever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So basically, okay, like in your you know, like your free time, basically, like what are you know, like reading, you know, like fitness related, you know, health related, or like whatnot, you know, like in your leisure time.
Yeah, I mean, I'm a nerd when it comes to health and fitness. Like, I love doing this stuff, and I understand that not everybody else is really big into fitness like this, and that's my thing. Like, you don't have to be really big into fitness to be in good shape and be healthy. And that's why I think fasting is so easy and going to the gym 3 days a week is so easy. But like for me personally, I do love to listen to like fitness podcasts. I love to learn about, you know, fasting and exercise and new things like that. But in my free time, man, I don't really focus on fitness that much. Like, I eat meals that I enjoy. I eat meat and potatoes. I don't necessarily consider any of the meals. I eat cheap meals, but like if I want to go out and have like brunch or fast food, like I can do that within reason. Like, I'm not going to go out and eat a whole box of cupcakes, you know? But like I can go out and essentially eat whatever I want as long as I'm not going completely overboard every day and still maintain being super lean and being in fantastic like top physical shape. And if people want to see that, you can follow my Instagram @_fitnessfast_ and then my YouTube channel, which is Fitness Fast. Y'all guys can watch my stuff on there, so you can kind of see what I'm talking about and see what I'm working with. So you know, right, I'm not just a 50-year-old couch potato talking out of my ass. You know.
I had checked out your like your channel like on YouTube as well though.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like I see, you've been doing your thing on there too.
Yeah, man. I'm just trying to make it easy for people because, like I said, I'm so sick of seeing like the mainstream fitness industry and the mainstream food industry telling people, oh yeah, you need to be eating 6 meals a day. You need to be eating out of Tupperware. You need to be eating chicken and rice every single day for the rest of your life. You need to be eating broccoli. You need to be going to the gym every single day, 1 hour of physical activity every day. And not that I think any of that stuff is wrong. Like, if you want to do that stuff, more power to you. Like, I do agree that you should get 60 minutes of physical activity a day. It doesn't necessarily need to be, you know, going to the gym. But even if it's just standing or going for a walk, you know, that's good enough. Not maybe not for making gains, but just for being healthy, you know. But I was so sick of seeing the mainstream saying all this stuff when fitness is really so much easier than that. It does not need to be that hard. And back to like a biblical example, I don't think that, you know, whatever you believe in, I believe in God. But even if you don't believe in God, like I believe that, you know, he wouldn't want us to be obsessed with fitness all the time, like the mainstream food industry and the mainstream health industry wants us to believe. God would want us to be enjoying our lives and worshiping him. And we can't do that if we're obsessed with being healthy 24/7. Like, while I agree that we need to be healthy and be physically fit, I don't think that needs to be the top thing that you need to be worried about every single day, every single minute of every day. You see where I'm going with this, Kenny?
Right. You're right.
Yeah.
Because God is more important than that.
Exactly. And even in the Bible, it says physical exercise will do little, but I'm paraphrasing. I don't remember the exact verse, but it says like physical exercise will do little, but faith in God will do the most. Something like that.
Right. So I'm saying, like, I know what scripture you're talking about.
Yeah, that's basically God saying like, yeah, you can be physically fit, but and that'll do some stuff in your life, but having a relationship with me will do way more.
Right. When you my spirituality, like, what the comes like to your mind?
What, as far as fasting?
No, just the word, like spirituality. Like, what's the first thing comes to your mind?
Spirituality? Look, it's all about having a relationship with the higher power, man. That's all that matters. It's all about having a relationship, your personal relationship with Jesus Christ, or at least that's how I feel. Your personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Yeah, going to church and all that other stuff. You can do that if you want to. You know, some people believe that that's how you get your spirituality, but that to me sounds like, you know, organized religion. Like, you just believe what everybody else believes. It's about your personal relationship.
Right.
How about you?
You bring up a point. No, I'm saying you're right. You're right. Like, it's all about, your relationship. You know, like, I mean, how often do you pray? Do you have... And trusting and hoping.
Mm-hmm.
It's about you.
Yeah. And that's another thing it says in the Bible is that your prayer will actually be enhanced with fasting. And I have noticed that as well. In the Old Testament, it actually commands them to pray fasted. In the New Testament, it does not. I don't see any commandments to pray fasted. But it says that it will strengthen your relationship with the Holy Spirit when you pray fasted.
So when you fast, do you read like Bible scriptures?
Sometimes, not all the time. I probably don't read as much as I used to, but I do like doing that.
Okay. Because sometimes, you know, on my Facebook, I go about, you know, God and fitness. You know, like he quotes some scripture about, you know, about God and fitness and all that. You know, like I try to do that by Well, I used to go 3 days a week. Now, I'm trying to go 2 times on Facebook and 2 times on.
Yeah, that's cool. And another thing that the Bible says about fitness, which I actually thought was really cool, and I wrote about this in my book. I'm going to release a book here sometime within the next 2 months. It's done. I just have to post it on Amazon. I wrote about this in my book. In the Bible, it directly says, he who is weak eateth only plants. So that's directly saying, like, I know you said that you experiment with being vegan or vegetarian, and I wanted to ask you how you felt about that. Because it directly says not to abstain from eating meats, and it directly says he who is weak eateth only plants.
Okay, okay. See, like, I forgot about that scripture, you know what I mean? Like, but you know, like, do you know how the world is? The world be trying to, like, throw, like, a lot of stuff on you, you know what I mean?
Like what?
I mean, like, they'll be, like, they, like, the people think that anything that the world says, you know, like legal, they don't think it's right. Versus, you know, I'm getting this, like, say this word, but you know how they get married.
Okay.
So, like, the world probably, that's okay. You know what I mean? But when it's like, when it's really not. So,
oh, yeah.
But, I mean, but like,
in general, the world in general gets further and further away from God every year, in my opinion.
Right, because the world evil.
Yeah, that's what it says in the Bible.
Right, right. But, like, and you know, it basically like a little bit, like, justifies what I was saying, because I wasn't going 100% from meat, because, like, the fourth day I always.
Yeah.
But, you know, 3 days I don't. But, you know, like, you just summed up, like, a lot for me just then, though.
Mm-hmm. But, again, you're not eating only vegetables. Like you said, you'll go, like, 3 days vegan and then switch back to eating meats. So that verse doesn't really apply to you, because you're not exclusively eating vegetables. That verse, and again, I'm paraphrasing because I don't have it pulled up in front of me, but it does say something like, he was weak, eateth only vegetables.
Right, right.
Only greens.
Because I met some guys, like, he said that he had told me, like, to watch a documentary on YouTube called What the Hell.
Yeah, I've heard of that.
And then, you know, like, the dude, you know, he was just going back and forth, you know, like, these studies, these people, these high people, they couldn't tell them why how bad meat was, and they didn't want to talk about it or whatnot. Then, like, I saw on podcast, he brought up, you know, like, he would, like, they basically, like, we using old studies to basically, you know, give them, like, give people, like, a point of view of it. But basically, in other words, like, and Joe Rogan was saying, basically what you said, you know, have eat meat and eat vegetables, like eat all of them together.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like that's the best. Honestly.
Yeah, you gotta have moderation, and you gotta have well balanced meals, big time. You know, I see people that just do the carnivore diet, and I do think that is interesting. But I personally am not gonna do that. Like, I love to eat fruits, you know. I'm not going to give up fruits and just eat exclusively meats, because you're missing out on so much vitamins and minerals and micronutrients that are in those fruits that you wouldn't get if you're just doing the carnivore diet, which, if y'all guys that are listening to this don't know, the carnivore diet is eating only meats. And I have seen some really impressive, like, anecdotal studies about the carnivore diet. And I was like, wow, this is really amazing. This might be worth looking into. And I have friends that have done it, but it's just one of those things that's like, you're almost a slave to your fitness doing that, because how are you going to go to, like, family functions or buffets or, like, out to eat with friends and be on the carnivore diet? It's just not realistic, because when you're doing that, you can only eat meats. And that, to me, is just, like, outlandish. I mean, again, that goes back to being a slave to your fitness. And with fasting, you don't really have to worry about that, because if I want to go out and eat breakfast or have a day when I don't fast, that's totally fine. You know, I can do that because I live this. You know what I mean? So if I take a day off every other week, I'm not going to lose any gains.
Rocky, and you brought up a good point when you said, you know, like, if you're on a diet and you're, and like, you're not going to do it, like, for the rest of your, basically, like, doing it for, like, for no reason.
Yeah, because eventually you're just going to get back to square one anyway. You might lose a whole bunch of weight and look good and feel good for, like, a little bit, or maybe you're doing it for, like, a wedding or a vacation you're going on. You might look good and feel great for that, but then if you stop right after that event is over, then you did all that for nothing, because you're going to go right back to square one, have to start all over from scratch again next time.
Right. So basically, what type of like cardio, you know, do you do? Like, do you believe in fast cardio?
I don't believe in cardio at all. And let me explain myself. So I don't believe in doing cardio at all. If you want to do cardio, like that's how you just love to exercise, by all means, go ahead. But the vast majority of the reason why people do cardio is to increase their caloric expenditure. And if you're doing calories, if you're doing cardio to burn calories, even if you do like this crazy cardio calorie burning workout, you're still only burning like a couple hundred calories at max. And then if you go home and eat like a big bowl of ice cream, then you just ruined all that. Because a big bowl of ice cream could be even more than several hundred calories, depending on what kind of ice cream or how big your scoops are. You know what I mean? So I don't believe in doing cardio at all. There are other better ways to work out your cardiovascular system. Like just regular workouts, like anaerobic exercise, will give you good enough cardiovascular health. You don't need to be doing cardio. And some people hate it. Like for me, I hate it. I couldn't imagine getting on the treadmill and running for however long. That sounds like punishment to me.
Well, you know, like about anaerobic, you know, like when you lift heavy weights, you lift them and put them down, and then but you then you put them down like about a minute and then you pick them back up.
Yeah.
Tight like that though. So that's basically like anaerobic.
Yeah, it's anaerobic, exactly. But that's what I'm saying. So that still gets your heart pumping, man. Like that's still decent cardiovascular exercise. Like you're still huffing and puffing, you know?
So
it's not like you're totally neglecting your cardiovascular system when you're exercising doing anaerobic workouts.
So basically what you think about cardio with doing giant or like supersets?
If, like I said, if you want to do cardio, by all means, go ahead and incorporate your cardio. But if you don't like doing cardio, don't, because you don't want to be in a point where you start to resent your workouts. You got to look forward to your workouts. I look forward to going to the gym. I look forward to doing my exercises. And if I didn't, I would hate it. And eventually when you hate something, you're going to stop. You know what I mean? Like you're not getting paid right to go to the gym unless you're a pro. And if you're not getting paid and you hate it, eventually you're going to be like, what am I even doing this for? And you're going to stop. So that's why I advocate for people not to do cardio. But there are people that love to go to the gym and run on the treadmill for an hour, and that's just their fix. And if that's the case, you know what? Go ahead and do that. Some people don't like doing bench press, which to me is weird because I love picking up weights and putting them down. That's my favorite. you know? I mean, you get it.
I mean, at one point, though, bro, at one point, you know, like I didn't like doing like the bench press. Like I liked it doing like the dumbbell presses first for some reason. Yeah. For me. I mean,
yeah,
I had got to the point to where I liked doing the bench press. You know, like my highest bench, you know, I'm saying like if I'm about 250.
Cool. That's awesome, man. I personally like doing bar bench as opposed to dumbbell bench because you can put up more weight with the bar and that's going to help you to make better gains. Whereas if you want to use the dumbbells, that's awesome too, but maybe that shouldn't be like the number one staple because it's going to be harder for you to get a big chest doing just dumbbell bench press. But that will help you more with dexterity and it'll work more muscles within your larger, like more of the smaller muscles within your larger muscle groups if you're using the dumbbells. But as far as if you're just trying to have like a nice solid looking chest and like big shoulders, I would recommend using the bar more often.
See, this the thing, you know, it all about your techniques and your tricks that you have up your sleeve. Okay.
Yeah.
See, like if I see, like, see, dumbbells. See, I'll do dumbbell flies first. My chest first, and then like you know, incline, and then my dumbbell, yeah. And then after that, I like finish them off with you know some push-ups.
Okay.
And I do that for about 3 weeks. Well, like I'm saying about a month. But like I hit my chest 2 times a week, and like just to see what I'm saying like the progress I done made.
Yeah.
So that muscle, and you hitting it a different time, I'm saying like a different way, you can't help but to see gains.
Mm-hmm. Oh, big time. Yeah, for sure. I agree 100%. And let's hop back to fasting then, because I wanted to make another biblical parallel with that. So I talked about intermittent fasting, but once you start to get good at that, you can work your way up to doing more longer fasts. And I call this prolonged fasting. So I will do longer fasts, especially in the summertime when I know I'm going to have my shirt off by the pool all the time. I'll do longer fasts. Like I'll do the OMAD diet, which is one meal a day. So I'll do like 23-hour fasts. And of course, I don't want to be in a caloric deficit every day for months because I'll put my body into that starvation mode. And you don't want to do that. But having one meal a day, I can eat this massive satiating meal with whatever foods I want within reason. Obviously, I'm not going to eat a whole box of cookies. But I can have this one massive meal, and otherwise the whole day I'm just fasting. And I can do this because I'm an experienced person when it comes to fasting. So I don't even really get hungry anymore during my fasts. And the longer you do this, the more natural you'll feel like it is, which again, I already said, this is the most natural way for humans to eat. So I'll do like 23-hour fasts every day. And sometimes like once a week or once every other week, I'll throw in like a 36-hour fast or even like a 48-hour fast. I'll go like 2 days. My longest fast ever, I did a 72-hour dry fast. So I did 3 days without food or water, which is crazy, right? Because if you Google how long a human can last without water, it's going to tell you 3 days, which I did. And obviously, Kenny, you're still talking to me. I'm not dead, you know?
Right, right.
So it's totally BS. Like the science is just totally outdated, and nobody understands what the heck they're talking about when it comes to fasting. So this is a great way to really ramp up that fat loss, because when you are fasted for this long, it's just giving your body that much extra time to pull the energy from your fat stores. And when you do dry fast, like I said, I did a 72-hour dry fast once. And when you're doing a dry fast, your body is what, like 70-something% water, right?
Right, right.
So what you're doing when you're dry fasted is your body still needs that water. So what it's going to do is it's going to pull the water from your fat stores, because there's water in the fat. You see what I'm saying?
Right, right.
So it'll speed up your fat loss. Now, this is not something that I recommend that someone jump right into tomorrow. Like, if you're listening to this and you're overweight, I don't want you to be like, yeah, I'm going to do a 48-hour dry fast tomorrow. That might not be the best idea, because you might get really sick. And then, obviously, after your dry fast, I would recommend that you slowly drink water. I just want to make sure I say this as a disclaimer, because if you chug water during your fast, there's nothing for it to stick to because you don't have any food in your system, and it'll flush out all your electrolytes, and you can get really sick from doing that. You see what I'm saying?
Gotcha.
Now, in the Bible, like I said, I wanted to make a biblical parallel here. Jesus went 40 days and 40 nights fasted, and I genuinely believe this is possible. I feel like you can do this. Now, I could probably do this, but I would not be okay. Like, I would be a mess. You know, Jesus was God in flesh. He could do this. I could probably do this and survive, but I would be a mess. Jesus fasted 40 days and 40 nights, but he also drank. It says when he was thirsty, he drank. And he might have been drinking like fruit juice too. So he might not have been, like the scriptures don't directly say. So he might have been getting calories from whatever he was drinking. whereas Moses fasted for 40 days and 40 nights, and he neither ate nor drank. Okay?
But he was
also in the prep. What's that? Yeah, so he neither ate nor drank for 40 days and 40 nights. Now, I want to be clear here. The Bible does say that he was in the presence of the Lord. So that probably makes a difference, right? Like, if you're in the presence of the Lord, you could probably do anything. I mean, this Moses was probably like a superhuman when he was in the presence of the Lord. He probably wasn't even hungry. Just being in the presence of the Lord was probably good enough fuel to keep his body going in the first place. However, I do want to say, from a logical standpoint, he neither ate nor drank water for 40 days and 40 nights. And the only way that this makes sense to be possible is that Moses was drinking his own urine, which makes a lot of sense because in the Bible, it does say drink from thine own cistern. So for me, the only thing that makes sense to me is if you are fasting for extreme long periods of time and you would drink from your own cistern, that means that you're drinking your own urine. So Moses almost had to be drinking his own urine when he was fasted for 40 days and 40 nights without food or water. So I just wanted to say that as a disclaimer too, because people will come on here and say, oh, that doesn't make any sense, that's not possible. So I just wanted to throw that out there as well. But I don't recommend that people go out and fast for 40 days and 40 nights. I'm definitely not going to do that, but I do think it is possible.
Right. I feel so too, you know what I mean? But it's like what you said, you know, Moses couldn't have been hungry like if he was in the presence of the Lord.
Yeah.
Couldn't have been.
Yeah, but I just wanted to make that parallel too, because Moses was dry fasted. So when it says in the scriptures, when he came down off the mountain, when he was done up there with the Lord, his face was glowing. And I've looked up some studies that say when you're dry fasting, that your skin will glow. So isn't that funny how scientific facts line up with the Bible if you really look into it?
Yeah. So what's your go-to meal, you know, after you done fast before?
After a long fast, my go-to meal, man, I love meat and potatoes. I love like chicken tenders in the crock pot with potatoes or steak, like a medium rare steak with potatoes. I also like pasta. I am a fiend for pasta. I know that it's not the healthiest thing, but again, when I'm fasting so much, I can get away with eating pasta, and it's so calorically dense that I can easily hit caloric surplus from eating a whole big meal of pasta with like ground beef in there, you know?
Right. So, last meal to have, what will it be?
If I had one last meal and I could never have anything else, I would definitely have like filet mignon with scalloped potatoes. That would sound amazing right now.
I never tried that.
How about you? What would you have?
I mean, I'm basically, you know, bro, like, to be real with you, I'm basically, you know, from the country, you know, how I raised, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I'm good, you know, like, with a big box of pizza, man. And
big
that's
box of pizza, hell yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I'm saying, oh, yeah. So, a hamburger and fries, you know, or, you know, some tacos or something, but, like, you know, some things like that.
Yeah, I mean, hey. Dude, I'm right there with you, man. Like, I do love pizza. I love tacos. I love my snacks. But if you don't have any kind of lifestyle diet or any kind of discipline or any kind of, like, workout regimen that you're following and you eat that stuff often, then you're going to be pretty unhealthy. Whereas if you're like me and you, and you have a lifestyle diet that you love and you have a workout regimen that works for you, you can eat stuff like that. Like, you can eat pizza and tacos and ice cream within reason and still stay in top physical shape. And that's one thing that people don't understand, because I'll have like friends and family that'll see me go crazy on a box of pizza and have like 4 or 5 slices, and they're like, oh, I thought you were really big into fitness. And I'm like, I am, you know, that's the whole point. You want to be able to enjoy it. What's the point of being in great physical shape if you can't enjoy it?
But you know what's crazy though? Everything that you try to do, someone, you know, always try to, they be ready to like just something about it. I'm saying like as soon as they see you do it.
Yeah.
Because you know, like that's a whole point of a cheat day.
Yeah. Think about it like cheat days. Because to me, if I want to have pizza or ice cream any day I want to, I'll have that as long as I'm not, you know, doing it all the time. I don't want to limit myself to one cheat day a week, you know, because then you end up pigging out and feeling like garbage for one day out of the week every week. Whereas you can have just little things throughout the week. Like if I wanted to have ice cream with my next meal, or if I wanted to have Taco Bell tomorrow, I could do that.
See, the way that you doing it though, like it making sense though. Like if you done fast 18 hours in one day and you have like a bowl of ice cream, like you really, you know, again, basically like a normal carb that you would get, you know, like if you ate 5 meals or something like that one day, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So basically the weight that you were gonna put on, you put it on like in that one meal. But okay, if you fast 18 hours, you eat a bowl of ice cream, like, do you recommend someone that's trying to lose weight, like, just lay down on it?
I mean, I would recommend if you're really trying to lose weight, you just lay off the ice cream in general. But if you're like really big on ice cream or whatever your snack of choice is, once you get into fasting, man, it just gets so easy. Because the longer you fast, the smaller your eating time, like your eating window of time is going to be. And so like for me, if I do like a 23-hour fast and I have one meal that I can eat in the day, I can have a massive meal, Kenny. I can eat a super satiating meal, get super full, like almost like a Thanksgiving style meal. And then I'm stuffed. I feel great. And I still am at like, you know, whatever the amount of calories are that I got in just that meal. And I had a meal that really filled me up. Whereas there are some people out here that believe the mainstream food industry and health industry that you need to be eating 6 small meals a day. And you eat these tiny little meals and you never really get satisfied. You're miserable doing that. I couldn't imagine just eating these little meals and then being like, all right, well, I'm still hungry, but I have to wait 3 hours or 4 hours until I can eat my next meal. It sounds awful.
Right, right. So, you know, like, technically, you basically talking about, like, bodybuilders. But, okay, like, what's your take, you know, on, like, how they train, like, basically, like, on, like the industry as a whole? You know, like, yeah. Like, the money that they make or what?
Yeah, so that, all that stuff is not for me. But I understand, you know, why some people love that. And that's awesome. You know, they don't think about it as being a slave to their fitness because that's just their life that they love to live, you know? But what I hate about it is, like, if you pick up a fitness magazine that is, like, by the mainstream fitness industry, you're going to see, like, big shot bodybuilders in there, like Kai Greene and Phil Heath in them. And
right.
It'll have, like, the Phil Heath workout or the Kai Greene workout or the Jay Cutler workout. And it's like, bro, these guys do these workouts and it's true, it works for them and it gets them into the shape that they're in, which is great. But these guys are using steroids. So like regular guys like you and me that are not using steroids, we can't do their workouts. We can, but we can't expect to get the gains that they get because we're not juicing, you see? So people that don't understand that will do these workouts like, yeah, I'm doing the like Ron Coleman or the Arnold Schwarzenegger workouts. And they'll burn themselves into the ground. They're not giving their muscle good enough time to recover. And that's because they're not using steroids. But they don't tell you that in the magazines. Obviously, you know, no health magazine is going to come out and be like, hey, by the way, it helps to use steroids with these workouts. Because that would discredit them.
Right. Thinking that they finna get like this type of physique. Like they give you a workout, basically like a steroid like training program.
Exactly. But they don't tell you that you need to be using steroids to look like these guys to do these workouts. But they're like, yeah, these are the workouts that the pros do. Do these. And it's like, bro, do not do those if you're not using steroids, because they won't work for you the same as it works for guys that are juicing.
Now, I feel like somebody, if they train and try like to get like a 1970s or an 80s physique, like with no steroids, I feel like if they train hard enough, they could get a physique like that.
Oh, I mean, bro, look at like NFL players, for example, or NBA players. I mean, it's possible to have like an outstanding physique without steroids. Look at the size of Saquon Barkley's legs, man. That dude has absolute tree trunks. Like, it doesn't make any sense to be able to get legs that big without using steroids. But it just shows that it is possible. But these guys are the best of the best. I mean, it's their job to have legs like that. You know what I mean? For the regular person, that is not obtainable. Like, Saquon Barkley is probably exercising for, like, I mean, his entire life is health and fitness, you know? His meal plans are probably set for every single minute of the day. Every single minute of the day is probably accounted for as far as what he needs to be doing physically or as far as exercise goes. He has no freedom.
Oh, you know, like, in our bodies, everybody have, like, their best parts of their body, like, his calves, his body.
Yeah, I mean, everybody's gonna have one muscle group that looks better than others. Like, I always see guys in the gym that have like super impressive forearms or like super impressive quadriceps or like really big shoulders, and it just sticks out more than any other like part of their body. But that's different from person to person, and sometimes it just depends on your build, you know, the way that your body's set up.
Right. So,
because you could do the same thing as somebody else in the gym and end up looking different from them, but that's just because of the way that your body's built.
Right. So, speaking of what's your favorite sports team? You know, in basketball or football?
Oh, I'm all Pittsburgh everything, man. Steelers, Penguins, Pirates, and I like the Wizards for basketball, the DC Wizards.
I'm saying, like my dad loved. Like, he loved Big Ben and them.
Yeah, hell yeah, man. I'm thinking the Steelers are going to have an okay year. I think we could win the division, but I don't think we'll win the Super Bowl. We'll see what happens, though. I'm optimistic. I like that new running back we have, Najee Harris.
Okay. I follow basketball more on like NBA. Like, you said that you love, like, the Wizards.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you the first... ever said like they like the Wizards for me. What's so you might like Bill?
I live in the Baltimore area, so it's easy to pull for them.
Okay. Well, so you like a Bradley Beal?
Yeah, I like Bradley Beal a lot. I think he's probably the most underrated player in the league right now.
Okay. I'm a Laker fan.
Yeah, they were gonna get Bradley, and they ended up.
We should have got Bradley.
Ended up taking Russell Westbrook, which I liked Russell Westbrook a lot, but I think Bradley Beal is going to really shine on the Wizards next season without Russell, and we'll see what happens to the Lakers, man. They got a whole bunch of hotheads on that team. You got a whole bunch of big names, so I don't.
Right. You're right. But I feel like if you know we're gonna gel well together. You know what I mean, like. Everybody knows
LeBron always has people playing better with him. LeBron is so good at having other people play to their best potential. So, you know, I never put that past him.
Right. So, who you lead?
Who would I say is the best right now?
Right.
I don't know, man. That's tough. You know, LeBron didn't actually get any votes. I saw that LeBron didn't get any votes for the best player in the league. And he was pretty upset about that because he tweeted about it. How you feel about that?
I mean, I feel good about it because, like, that's just give us even more on, like, it's like next year, cause on, like, already Donna saying that we owe or saying that we, like, we got a super team and saying that we ain't gonna win.
Right.
Feel like we could win. I mean, LeBron. I mean, that's LeBron. See, I'm a Kobe fan and I'm saying, like, a Laker fan, but LeBron can't. Lakers, so I'm gonna have his bite. He ain't have to come to the Lakers.
Mm-hmm.
But we going to the finals, though. And I feel like your boy Bill should go to the Warriors.
Nah, you would have him go to the Warriors with Steph. Then there'd be two of the best point guards in the NBA on the same team. I don't know if that would be the best fit for him.
Steph and off the ball, because it's like they did it with Durant, and you know Durant a better player than Bill.
Yeah, I mean Durant might be the best player in the league right now. To answer your question, I feel like he might have off the court issues though. With Kyrie and James Harden, I'm not sure how dedicated that team is to playing basketball. I think they care more about some off the court stuff.
Right.
Last year we didn't even see them all three on the court for very often, if at all. Right. At the same time,
right.
They were always right. You injured, right. Or doing something else, or had some BS going on.
I think the one that's more fixated up, Kevin Durant.
What, fixated on winning?
Right.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I think Kyrie's got other stuff going on. I think James might have some other stuff going on. Because Kyrie's always in like messing with hip hop artists, or maybe I'm thinking of James Harden because he was just hanging out with Lil Baby.
Yeah, probably on the horn.
Not that you can't do that and still be, you know, a top player in basketball, but it just seems like these guys, the Brooklyn Nets, they can't get their stuff together, man, because they can't even all play at the same time.
Right. I mean, but I feel like, you know, Durant, you know, he addressed too much stuff that he heard in the media and on social media. Like, bro, you're a superstar. You don't have to go back at nobody.
Yeah, he does. He does like to talk trash with the people in the media. I think he got that from playing with Russ, because I think Russ likes to do that too.
Right, and Kyrie don't like talking to no people. Hello?
Yeah.
So, before we wrap everything up, you know, is there anybody you want to give a shout out to, or, you know, like tell people, you know, like where to follow on social media for they can find you?
Yeah, so definitely go ahead and find me on Instagram, and that's @_fitnessfast_. And then you can subscribe to my YouTube channel, which my link is in my bio, but that's also Fitness Fast. So definitely go ahead and find me on there. Like I said, I am going to be releasing more content as far as fitness goes in the future. I'll be posting on Instagram about every other day, and I post on YouTube a new video about once a week. And then I'll be dropping that book that I'm going to release all my secrets about everything I've learned about fasting and fitness. Sometime within the next month or two. So be on the lookout for that too, because I'm going to be releasing that on Amazon, and I'm going to tie in parallels of everything we talked about today. Actually, I'm going to talk about parallels of how it relates to the Bible, how fasting can work with exercise, how it can work without exercise, how you can, like, how your mindset needs to be in order to be successful with fasting, or how to be successful with fitness. So I'm going to be talking about all my secrets with that.
Gotcha. So it's the end of a shout out to?
Let me go ahead and shout out the Bible, since we've been talking about that so much. I do believe this is the true word of God, and I listened to one of your other podcasts about it just recently, the one you posted recently. And that guy that you had on, I think that was a Hebrew Israelite, right?
Right.
Yeah, so I listened to a little bit of that, and I am a Christian, and from what I've read in the Bible, Jesus Christ is for everybody. Like, for example, in Acts chapter 10, it says, "Then Peter opened his mouth and said, of a truth I perceive that God is no respecter of persons, but in every nation that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him." So that's saying that God is for everybody. And while I agree with that guy that God did have the chosen people of Israel in the Old Testament, that's what Jesus Christ died for. You know what I mean? Jesus Christ died so it wouldn't just be for Israel, but it would be for everyone. And that's what Peter said.
Right.
And so I just wanted to clear the air on that, because I don't want any Christians to hear your last podcast. And everyone's entitled to their opinion. But I didn't want Christians to hear your last podcast and be discouraged, like, oh, God doesn't love me, because that's actually not what the Bible says. The Bible says that Jesus Christ did die for everyone, regardless of your skin color. So I just wanted to shout that out there since you asked. But otherwise, man, that's all I had. Did you have anything you wanted to share at the end? And then are you going to post this on, like, your Instagram or anything? Because I want to be able to repost it too.
Yes. I'm going to post it. I had did like another podcast episode that I'm posting next Sunday, but like in 2 more weeks I'm gonna post this one right here.
Awesome. Yeah, let me know when you post it. Definitely tag me in it, because I'll repost it for you too.
Gotcha. Of course. I'm saying, man, I'm all about giving people like explosion.
Yeah, man, I got that vibe from your channel, so I'll be sending you good vibes as far as your channel and growing your channel goes. Yeah, definitely when you post this, tag me in a post and I'll repost it.
Okay, bet. Man, Chris, man, like, it was nice like speaking to you, or for us, you know, like, get back on here and, you know, talk, you know, about something else.
Absolutely, Kenny. I like it a lot. I'll let you go.
Okay, bro.
All right. Thank you for having me on, bro. Peace.
Okay.